Can a person interrupt himself? Well, if he can, I'm doing that because it's such a crucial time of year for financial support of Christian ministries. Fortis Institute is no exception. If you have been blessed in any way, shape, or form by any of our fellows, Greg Giffert, John Kratz, Adam Tyson, any of the guys that do Libby Glosson and their great podcasts, our resources, books, everything free at fortisplus.org. If that has been a blessing to you and you have the ability to be a blessing to us, would you consider doing it at this time? We have a matching gift campaign, which means every dollar you give is doubled. And if you are willing to do that and others join you in that, we're going to enter 2026 stronger than ever and preach the gospel louder than ever. FortisInstitute.org/donate.
Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel and I asked him his name. It's a financial company. And I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans. And it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Sorry, if you have a complaint, you're going to have to take it up with Paul Washer. This is Wretched Radio, a veritable Donnybrook taking place on the internet machine because Paul Washer, he was critical. That, I know that might come as a surprise to you, but Paul Washer has an issue specifically with a subject that is, well, it's near and dear to my heart because I've observed it and shared his lament for years. And so recently when he mounted the pulpit, looks like he's at Grace Community Church because you can always tell when somebody's preaching at GCC, can't you? Because of the wood grain. I'm going to ruin your life right now, as was ruined for me a couple of years ago. I think, you know what, Jimmy? It was Tom Hammond, that rascal. He said, take a look at the pulpit at Grace Community Church. The grain on the top of the spaceship, you know, where you put all your notes in the micro, it's going horizontal. But the boards underneath, it's almost kind of shiplappy in an old-fashioned kind of way. They are going up and down. Oh. I guess the word would be vertical. Oh, now I can't stop looking at it, and neither will you. Paul Washer mounted that esteemed pulpit. Esteemed, is that the right word? Austere. No, that's not the right word. That exalted. Okay, let's go with that. That grand pulpit at Grace Community Church, despite its grain problems, and he let it fly when it came to preaching. And wow, wow, did he take a beating online.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors.
Hold the phone right there. In order to correctly dine on the banquet that Paul is going to set before us, we need to be mindful of the range of preaching that exists today and historically. It's sort of like the semantic range of a word. It's more like Bible translations. Got to understand that there's types of Bible translations. On the far right, which is the right side, of course, you have what would be called formal equivalents. These are more word for word. Way over to the left, you've got paraphrases where it's like, we just want to get the gist of the text. And so that, of course, means a ton of interpretation was put into that translation. So you've got this range of Bibles that vary from one side to the other. And the same thing is true with preaching. Way over on the right side, there's a couple of styles of preaching way over on the right side. One could be described as scholastic. This was pre-Reformation preaching where it was just very, very academic. Here is what this thing says. Period. So think Thomas Aquinas style scholastic preaching. That's one camp. The other would be what it would be called, we'll call it just pure expository preaching. the challenge, and I think this is what Paul is after, is there's varying types of expository preaching, but we'll simply define it as line by line, verse by verse, through book by book. Now, there's a lot of components in that, and we're going to dive into those components, but that's way over there on the right side. Now, to the left of that, let's call it not the middle, because it's more right. And believe me, there can be shades of all of these things. When you listen to a sermon, you'll be able to go, okay, I know where this guy is coming from. Okay, I see his philosophy of preaching. You would have something called thematic preaching. It doesn't ignore expository, but it spends more time teaching the point of the text, probably heavier with application than most expository preaching. That would be called thematic. And I hate to, I don't want to put topical way to the left, but for the sake of just understanding the landscape, we will. Not that, I'm not saying that it's necessary wrong to do a topical sermon. It can be wrong. It can be wrong to do a topical. You can do it wrongly, but there can be a right way where you open up a text because you want to speak on a topic and the topic drives the text. It's different from thematic in that it is less of an exposition than it is on just a teaching of a topic. Now, just as I said that topical preaching can be delivered wrongly, we hear these all the time, don't we? Okay. Recently, I went to some websites. I was looking to see how websites communicate their message as to what they are, because we're doing some work on Alpharetta Bible Church's website. And I caught some openings for some sermons. They're definitely, at some of these bigger churches, I thought, why not piggyback on all of the money they spend on marketing and website design? I saw some of the sermons, and they're so topical. Now, it doesn't mean there's no Bible in them, but they're so heavy topical. And one other bellyache, if you don't mind, can we get a new opening, guys? If you're going to be the groovy pastor, can you please somebody write something other than hey church? Morning, everybody. How's about them Packers, huh? Taking on the Bears. The Bears. How's about the Pack? You ever been to Green Bay? Please, something new would be really refreshing other than, hey, how are you, church? Slightly better than that is, it's a good day to be in God's house, isn't it? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand clap. A clap of, what do they call it? A clap of praise or something?
Clap of praise, yeah.
I digress. So you've got those varying shades of preaching. And I would suggest that they can all be done rightly. The question is, and every pastor, if he doesn't answer this question, he should be answering this question. What are we here at this church? Because if you don't have that, it's going to be a little bit schizophrenic. You're going to be all over the place. Your style and the messaging and what people should expect will be confusing to them. It will be somewhat incoherent in its organizational structure. I'm an expositor guy, but I join Paul Washer in his lament. There is a type of exposition which we need to understand. Expository preaching, as we've come to know and love it, is a relatively new historical, I was going to say, evolvement. Is that a word? It's evolved into what we know today as expository preaching, where it's line by line, verse by verse, book by book. That's a relatively new style of preaching. Now, you can find it throughout the ages. But as a general rule, historically, what we saw was it was scholastic from the cross. It would be more scholastic all the way to the Protestant Reformation, which then became more I'll probably get in trouble for this, but let's just say thematic, because they didn't follow line by line, book by book. Go ahead, dive into one of your favorite preachers, one of the great reformer commentaries, one of the great Puritan commentaries, and you're going to be shocked to discover, hey, why isn't everything in order here? It's because they didn't do it that way. Now, they dove deeper than any topical sermon would. So they weren't topical, but they weren't what we know as expositional today, in that they didn't just go from just march right through a book. Now, Paul Washer has noticed inside of the expository camp, and you need to understand there's varying shades of expository, because expository preaching, as it is taught in the classroom, it should, I think, have two additional components in addition to didactics. Teaching must be there. Teaching on the text, not just on the theme, not just on the teaching has to be there on the text. And so if you do thematic preaching that doesn't exposit any text, I think personally that's deficient. Expository preaching, as Paul Washer is pointing out, has fallen into a different ditch, and that it is purely didactic, and it's lacking the two elements and the two components that I think should be there, one of which would be it must have application. This is what it looks like. In fact, I'm working on a sermon this week for Sunday. We get to talk about born for your glorification. Sorry. No, that's in 3 weeks. Okay, we got a theme for Christmas, for Advent. We're doing something called Advent. Have you heard about it? Yeah. We used to do that in Protestant circles to prepare for the birth of our Savior. So it's born for what Jesus came to accomplish for us. So one is glorification. I think that'll be Christmas Eve. One is going to be sanctification. The other one would be what we're going to call securitization, because we want to make sure that it ends in an yun. In other words, that you're assured of your salvation. But then born for your adoption. I thought that was kind of cute, kind of a play on words, born for your adoption, because you're adopted into God's family. And I came up with 10 benefits of adoption working through Galatians 4:4. That there they are. These are the applications. And then I wrote a question. What does that look like this week? That is to apply the text. And as you're going to hear from Paul Washer, he ain't happy that that's missing. Next on Wretched Radio.
You know what momentum feels like? When the work you've been doing for years, it starts to reach people you never dreamed you'd reach. That's what 2025 has been for Fortis Institute. We're on over 600 radio stations now, over 120 TV networks. Our Fortis Plus app is streaming on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, everywhere people are watching. And something we never thought we'd do, we closed the warehouse. Every single resource we have is now completely free. 300,000 Play the Man booklets made it into the hands of students this year. We had 3 campus events attended by students who are hungry for truth. Our Fellows podcasts are all ranking in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford released his new book, and millions, literally millions, are watching on YouTube. But here's the thing about momentum. You can't coast. You have to keep pushing, and that's why December matters so much. Every gift you give this month is matched dollar for dollar up to $500,000. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now. Give today and double your impact. Let's keep the momentum going.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Books of the Bible. Acts is the second volume of the Gospel according to Luke.
It begins with the ascension of Christ and covers the first 30 years of the early church. Acts is about the sovereignty of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, and the preaching of the word as early Christians seek to spread the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Where were you when I needed you? This is Wretched Radio. All right, here's the word I was gunning for. To take security and then put a yun on the end.
Right.
So just so we can make the theme of the four Advent sermons, you know, all sound like the same. So, you know, you've got glorification, sanctification, adoption, security. See how it just kind of, it's like a lame foot.
Yeah.
So securitization.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Securitization.
Or you could have just said protection.
Whatever. This is radio. That works. Protection is good. There's another word that I'm just, wow, am I tripping over this Sunday, Alpharetta Bible Church. If you're in town, we'd love to see you. Talking about the doctrine of adoption, that Jesus was born for our adoption. And the Greek word for adoption, it's driving me nuts. I think I can read Greek pretty well. This is a word. And then the accent is I think it's on the ultimate, at the ultimate, the end. I can't say it. It's got a bunch, like six vowels in a row. And I'm just garbling it up. And that's a good thing because, you know what? Nobody needs to know the Greek word. Do they? I mean, really, do they need to know the Greek word? I've done it. Every pastor does. The Greek word is, and then you share it and you can talk about the semantic range. And I think talking about the range of the word, the understanding of the word first century, and then letting context determine which aspect of that word applies rightly. But why do we need to say the Greek word other than to let everybody know we know Greek? So I'll be working on securitization. I don't know, Jimmy. Might stick with that.
Okay.
Our protection.
Yeah, that sounds good.
If you must. As we prepare for our Advent service. By the way, does your church do Advent? It's not a law. You don't have to. But with all of the energy and effort that we put into Christmas Eve, historically, we prepared people's hearts by preaching on Advent verses, and there's dozens of them in the Old Testament, to prepare our hearts so that we can feel like the Jews of the Old Testament. Oh, come thou long expected prophet, David's son, David's Lord. Come, Emmanuel. We are longing for your appearance. That's how we should feel on Christmas Eve. Oh, he's here. Finally. He arrived. He's here. We used to prepare our hearts in that way. We don't anymore. Used to do that for Easter. We don't anymore. And I think that's a great loss. And I think that that would be something where conservative evangelicals could start shoring it up a little bit in 2026, where we it's like, hey, there's nothing wrong with having some structure to the year. Doesn't need to violate expository preaching, but it does mean that we're trying to make the main things the main things and focus on the big stuff. Just a thought for your consideration, Pastor, which is the group that it appears Paul Washer was after when he went on a woo-hoo-hoo kind of a, I'm not happy with the expository preaching of today.
There's one thing that I see over and over missing in all these expositors.
They aren't applying the Bible. That is one of the elements that I believe is missing from today's expositional preaching in general. Not everybody, in general. Where is the application? We've got the scholastic part. We've got the didactic part down. Where is the application? That is one of, I think, the big elements missing from, well, too many pulpits these days.
When I come to church, I don't want to hear a New Testament class.
Ooh.
I want to hear preaching.
Now, that would be the second element right there. Now, I don't know if Paul was after this or not. It appears that he's looking for application. But I think, too, he's stressing. I think he is affirming this. Preaching! Preach! Don't just talk to us. Don't, hey, everybody, how's it going today? And we're going to talk to you about your finances, and everything is going to be delivered kind of like this in kind of a homey little monologue. Breach! This is urgent. This is big. And as a part of that preaching, it needs to contain elements of encouragement. It needs to contain elements of correction, conviction, and presenting it in a way that says, hey, this stuff, it's actually important.
I want to see a man who has life and death painted on his face. I want to have the great matters of eternity set before me.
That is preaching. Can you do that with expositing a text? Absolutely. In fact, I would say you must. You must do that. Because if you don't do that, I think it's just falling short of the type of preaching that actually brings about transformation. And it misses the affections. Because application can still just address the mind. But what motivates the application of teaching? The affections. And that is why preaching, I think, needs to be God exalting. That the text, whatever it is teaching about it, and I know it's easy to do this, and I know that it's hard to do it freshly every single week, but I think every sermon should exalt Jesus. Every single one. We're Christians. If you can preach a sermon in a temple, and a rabbi says, that was very good. That's right. That was actually my Jewish impersonation. If he affirms it, you didn't preach. Christian pastor, you didn't, because it didn't exalt Jesus Christ. A rabbi should be like, stop. We don't do that in here. And unfortunately, we're not doing that a lot. And I think that there's a lot of good guys that are expositing, and they're perhaps recognizing that elements are missing. And I think the two big elements are application and Christ exaltation. See what I did there, Jimmy?
Yeah,
application. Christ exaltation.
Yeah.
That's preaching.
I want to be urged. I want to be begged. I want to be pleaded with, because the subject matter is worthy of it. And this was the Apostle Paul. He doesn't just lay truth before people and then walk off the platform patting himself on the back because he did a good job expositing a text.
Oh, I'll just let that one lay there without comment.
No! There should be no contentment in the preacher unless God is glorified and men and women are moved.
That, of course, was the one and only Paul Washer lamenting what he thinks is missing in too much expository preaching these days. That clip made its way onto the internet machine, and I have for your consideration some of the responses. Let's engage. Shall we? These are people making comments. Now, some affirmed it. Amen. There are way too many examples of sermons being nothing more than empty theological lectures. Man is not just a mind. Well, it's not just intellect. He's also heart and a soul. Because mind, it's got a different shading of heart and soul. But it needs to preach not just to the intellectual center, is this fellow's point, because we're commanded to love the Lord with all three. If our preachers are just reaching the mind, they are failing. One guy said, I listen to Paul Washer in the gym. It's like steroids. Not everybody felt the same way. Why is this guy dressed like he's selling insurance? Okay, that has nothing to do with the argument now, does it? That's an ad hominem, but I'll defend him. He's dressing in a way that indicates what he's doing is more important than selling insurance. That's why he's dressed that way. This is, woof. There are different forms of preaching. This gives off old man yells at clouds vibes. What is this retard talking about? That's wonderful stuff right there. The defense, okay, this is the people jumping in on this. Somebody just basically saying, you don't have any Bible verses to back this up, so back off, step off, Paul. But some people said, the defensiveness of so many on here is telling. Washer is not arguing for emotionalism. nor is he opposed to exposition. He's reminding pastors that their job is not an intellectual exercise. The fate of men's souls are on the line, so preach like it. That is exactly. Thank you, sir. You found what I think that he's after here. That we do exposit the text. Otherwise, then we're all Andy Stanley and we're just making stuff up. Maybe slapping a Bible verse on your little monitor on the stage. But that ain't preaching. That's not expository preaching. That preaching, though, needs to be more than mere intellectualism. It needs to show this is what we do with this, motivated by preaching. Can we get back to preaching? Where a man set on fire, people will come to watch burn because they see a man who's passionate and it's urgent. And I believe, my personal opinion, that will actually resonate in these times perhaps more than ever before. Pastor, how you doing? And you're preaching from the pulpit. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, real quick, before we jump into today's Fortis News Break, I want to tell you about something that's happening right now. We're in the middle of our year-end match campaign. The month of December decides a whole lot for us here at Fortis Institute. And let me tell you what this means for us practically. Every single dollar you give during the month of December is going to be doubled. That means your impact is going to be doubled. We're planning on expanding our campus reach significantly in 2026, but December giving determines whether that's possible. Join our year-end match giving campaign right now at FortisInstitute.org. And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. The Trump administration has launched a major deportation operation in Minneapolis with over 100 ICE officers descending on the city to round up Somalis with existing deportation orders. Sources say as many as 500 are on the target list. On the live front, good news coming from New York, where a federal appeals court ruled that crisis pregnancy centers can continue promoting abortion pill reversal. The court upheld the injunction on free speech grounds. A United Methodist pastor in Rochester, New York, announced to his congregation that he's transitioning to female. He said, "I'm not becoming a woman. I'm giving up pretending to be a man." He added that his parents texted to say they don't support him, which he framed as them choosing convictions over their child. But it sounds more like to me that his parents just understand that loving someone means telling them the truth. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth triggered a Canadian publisher by posting a meme of Franklin the Turtle firing rocket-propelled grenades at narco-terrorists. And Kids Can Press clutched their pearls, insisting Franklin stands for kindness, empathy, and inclusivity. And their most recent repost? A workshop titled An Indigenous History Lesson on Fascism. Yeah, inclusivity indeed. OpenAI has filed its defense against parents suing over their son's ChatGPT-assisted suicide, and the argument is absolutely astonishing. They say the teen violated their terms of service by discussing suicide. So instead of accepting responsibility, let's just go ahead and blame the victim. Finally, some genuinely uplifting news. Tech billionaire Michael Dell and his wife are contributing $6.25 billion to give American children investment accounts. Combined with the president's plan, which gives newborns $1,000 each, up to 25 million children under 10 could receive $250 accounts. Dell noted that we've seen what happens when a child gets even a small financial head start. Building generational wealth instead of generational dependence. That is a novel concept, isn't it? And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Mediator. God is holy and cannot have fellowship with sinful men. But Jesus is both righteous man and holy God. And through him, we have direct access to God.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
I was being sarcastic, which is another big word you'll learn in school.
What's the word on the street?
Apparently there are two. This is Wretched Radio. I had one, hence the opening jingle. But Jimmy, you've informed me we've got another word of the day. I was looking for something that ends in a shun to talk about that we are secured in Christ, that when you get saved, you're forever saved. You don't need to worry about it. You've been adopted. There has been a cosmic declaration justified that God cannot revoke.
That's right.
Therefore, you're secure. And so in order to make our Advent theme at Alpharetta Bible Church, you know, sound, you know, cool. Or something.
Relatable.
Sound Southern Baptist-y, yeah, maybe? Yeah, yeah. Sean, and every adoption, he was born for your adoption. He was born for your sanctification. He was born for your glorification. And he was born for your securitization. Oh, wow. Securitization.
There you go.
All righty then. But you said there's a better word besides even protection, which you offered a moment ago.
Right.
What is it?
Preservation. And give me a few more minutes, I might have another one.
You got that on AI.
I did not.
You did that all by yourself.
I did.
This is 2025, you know.
I know, but listen.
It's okay. You could actually, in fact, Jimmy, it's going to be a matter of minutes. Neither of us are going to be needed soon.
That's probably true, but here's why I fight it so much. Because I know me, and if I start relying on it, I'll always rely on it, and then I will get dumb.
Oh, it's like not learning math tables.
Right.
Why do we need to learn that when we've got a calculator on our phone? Because, that's what, because, and basic math, oofta, it's lacking. In fact, I think we maybe talked about this a few weeks ago, that the universities are now having to have like freshman basic math. Okay, everybody, here's addition. What? And as far as like memorizing the charts, like 6 times 7, we don't need to know that. Yeah, actually you do. If you're going to advance in your understanding of how God runs the universe, we've moved away from that. And I agree with Jimmy. The more guys lean on AI, the dumber they're going to be. Preservation. Good. Good word, Jimmy.
Would you
like to hear my word?
Okay.
Clevernutics. Clevernutics.
Clever.
That's my word. That's mine, by the way.
Clever.
I've already contacted Washington to get that trademark because I see it as a trend.
So that's clever hermeneutics.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I did. Clevernutics.
Yeah, that's good.
Hermeneutics, the art and science of interpreting scripture, because it is both of those things. That's hermeneutics, but I see a trend where guys are practicing something called clevernutics, where they take a verse and they re-understand it, and they make it say something it's never said before, or they make it say something that nobody's ever understood before. They make it say something that perhaps the church has affirmed before, but couldn't use that verse to support it, so that they've actually got biblical support for a bad idea. Who am I thinking of? Well, case in point, but there are others. And I bring this up, not just a hack on N.T. Wright, although frankly, his stuff. And he comes across as this Anglican academic who he must be right the way that he taught, you know, that accent, that doesn't hurt. And I think he's causing problems with very essential doctrines like, you know, justification. And he's been at this for years. Recently, with the announcement of his new book, he's making the tour and he's doing interviews and they're being printed on the Christian Post, etc. I think that he reveals a growing trend that is worth identifying so that you don't get hoodwinked by it. If you're following a teacher who opens up the word or teaches a subject and you go, wow, that was amazing. I've never heard that before. Then you should be like 5 alarm fire. Anytime somebody's like, I've got a new way of understanding it, or we've lost the correct understanding. And then they might hearken back to a couple of quotes from early church fathers. See, this is how they... So now I'm going to show you how to get there by cleverly using the Bible to support my position on this subject. N.T. Wright, it appears, very guilty of that. He was interviewed on the Christian Post. The problem, he said, that most Western Christians today think that the whole point of Christianity is for our souls to go to heaven when we die.
Okay.
That's not the whole point. So that would be a straw man. That's not the whole point. But is the point of creation that God is glorified by the salvation of those he saves? Yeah. And as a human being, don't I have a great interest in that? Nevertheless, he said, the problem is Western Christians think the whole point of Christianity is for our souls to go to heaven when we die. But the New Testament concentrates on God coming to dwell with us. There was a case of this earlier this week where somebody used a word like concentrate. Oh, yeah, yeah, the whole point of Gavin Newsom. Hey, the Bible, man, it just really stresses taking care of the poor. It's like a big deal. No, the issue is a big deal, but biblically, if you weigh it next to all of the other subjects, it's not that heavy on the scale. It doesn't mean we ignore it. I was simply critiquing his use of words to describe how much emphasis the Bible actually puts on a subject. Now, God only has to say it one time for it to be important. But I think that we can also appreciate that if God says something like five times, okay, all right, it must be a bigger 50 times. Okay, that's a big deal then. And so we can appreciate the weightiness of a subject based on the repetition. But to say that the Bible is just, oh man, it concentrates on feeding the poor. No, it doesn't. Nor does it concentrate on God coming to dwell with us. It concentrates on the promise that God would send a head crusher to die for sinners. The promise that was given to Abraham, which is an ongoing for forever promise. That's what the theme of the Bible is. So he's taken a theme that, yes, God is going to come to dwell with us, because you can see it in the bookends, can't you? God was walking in the garden in the cool of the eve with his people. He was dwelling with his people. What do we see in Revelation 21 and 22? Heaven comes to earth and God dwells with his people. Amen. What N.T. Wright is now trying to do is to say, see, now that's where our emphasis should be, because the Bible concentrates on that. Quote, the direction of travel is wrong and the result is wrong and the intermediate stages are wrong. The misunderstanding, he said, comes from the Greek word psuche, often rendered soul, is rooted in the Hebrew, I'm quoting him by the way, is rooted in the Hebrew nephesh, which does denote an immortal disembodied essence, but the whole living person. So here's what he's doing. Taking some words, and then he's going to show you some verses where those words are used to say, see, I told you what to think up front. Now, I explained to you what this word means. I've showed you a verse that uses this word. Therefore, my position is supported. Clever nudics. And it basically works like this. There's many different tactics to it, but use the semantic range of a word. It could mean this, it could mean this, it could mean this, it could mean this. But I really think that this is the emphasis. Now, look at this verse. Ta-da, see what I did? And then it gets a little bit more sophisticated in a bad kind of way. They find other verses that support the new interpretation. So I've got a new understanding. See, it's not about the salvation of sinners. It's about God coming to dwell with earth. So I go find those. For instance, Revelation 21 and 22 and Genesis 2 and 3. Okay, so see? And it feels like, yeah. But what does it do? It ignores everything in between. Genesis 2. And Revelation 22, it ignores any other emphasis. That I see this so right. Hey, man, this is what God is all about. This is his thing, man. It's my thing now, and it better be your thing. And they use clever nudics to get there. So they find other verses that seem to support their new understanding. They ignore every other verse that supports a traditional understanding. Then they caricaturize groups, like you just heard N.T. Wright, the Western Church, got it all wrong because they're all thinking like that they've all got it wrong. And he bases part of this too on eschatology. They've all got it wrong. And then he uses anecdotes to impute everybody. That's exactly what that he does in this, just in this little short interview in the Christian Post. And I've seen it before. Now, how do you identify it? Well, listen for those things. Listen for, hey, we've kind of had a misunderstanding about this verse. Hold on. Your bar just got higher, preacher, man. Listen for that. Hey, I think the church has had it wrong. Hold on. We understand the Bible is the authority, so we submit to the Bible, not to tradition. We're not Roman Catholic, but that's a flare that just got fired off. Furthermore, if they start using semantic range, and then if they start to present something that's really clever, and it's like, see this verse here? Now we know that it says this because of the semantic range. Now take a look at this verse over here that uses a similar thing. Now, and that now, therefore, that's what I mean. Now take a look and see that's related then to this verse. And they draw this map of the Bible to go, wah and la, here it is. That is clever nudics. Be on the alert. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it? If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at FortisPlus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at FortisPlus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at FortisPlus.org. Stop surviving and start living. Your son asked to use your cell phone yesterday, and for just a split second, your heart stopped. And it wasn't because of what you thought he might find. You're careful about that, but because of what you knew he wouldn't find. Evidence of a man actually living for Christ. See, our kids don't care about our Sunday morning Christianity. They watch us when we think no one's looking. They notice when Dad disappears into his office and locks the door. What if your son could actually see a father who's genuinely free? A dad whose private life matches up with his public faith? That's not a fantasy, it's an actual reality because men experience that transformation every day when they stop trying to manage their sin and let Christ kill it instead. Todd Friel's Play the Man shows you exactly how that works. There's no gimmicks, there's no quick fixes. It's just full of biblical truth about how God transforms men. Play the Man by Todd Friel. It's available right now as an audiobook, an ebook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org. Hey, look, some battles, they're just too important to lose. Here's a question. When's the last time you heard of a ministry making everything free? That's what happened this year at Fortis Institute. For years, we sold our books and our studies, all of our resources, because that's how we kept the lights on. But this year, we closed the warehouse. Everything we produce is now completely free. We made a decision. We're going to trust God to provide through faithful partners who believe in this mission. We'd rather give everything away and trust Him than hold back truth because someone just can't afford it. And it's working. 300,000 Play the Men booklets distributed on campuses. 3 incredible campus visits. Millions of views on YouTube. Our podcasts are in the top 5% worldwide. Dr. Greg Gifford's new book was released in 600 radio stations, 120 TV networks, all carrying our programming. And the Fortis Plus app, well, it's on every streaming platform. Right now, every gift you give through the end of the year is matched dollar for dollar. Just go to FortisInstitute.org right now and make your gift count. Double your impact today.
Hermeneutics. Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting Scripture. When reading the Bible, begin with these 3 questions. What does it say? What does it mean? What difference does it make? Many common mistakes can be avoided with basic hermeneutics. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Now I have 2 bones to pick. This is Wretched Radio. It's not like he couldn't have called or something. Not like he couldn't have sent a text. No. I have to read about a new Answers in Genesis initiative on the Christian Post. Thanks a lot, Ken, buddy. Did you know that Answers in Genesis has a new attraction in Branson, Missouri? I didn't either. Wow. Is this some well-kept secret? What is going on? It's called The Truth Traveler. It opened November 18th. At the Moon River Theater. That was the Andy Williams place. I've been to Branson. I don't know how they're doing these days with tourism in Branson. I suspect they're kind of holding steady for people who don't want, you know, Las Vegas. You got Las Vegas way over there, and you got Branson over here. You got Dollywood, Wisconsin Dells, things like that for people who dig something that's just a lot more family friendly. So at the Moon River Theater, Andy Williams is dead, right? He could sing. He really could. He was kind of the Michael Bublé Christmas guy before Michael Bublé, because he could just sing anything and he was just enjoyable to listen to. And he was a better singer than I think most people give him credit for. Nevertheless, Truth Traveler takes an immersive journey through 6,000 years of biblical history, using the same cutting-edge virtual reality technology found at major theme parks. I'm kind of intrigued. Through a headset, you experience everything from creation and the fall of man in the Garden of Eden to the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ. That's Ken Ham. That's Answers in Genesis right there. The six C's of creation. You know, creation is the first one. You've got preservation. No, that's not a C. That would be some. You got the corruption. There it is. Corruption. See what they did? Creation. Corruption. Uh-huh. They know what they're doing there.
That's right.
And then ultimately consummation. Because Answers in Genesis, I think everybody has the opinion, well, it's just about creation and the flood. Wrong on both counts. That's not what it's about. You say, wait a second. They built an ark. It's not what it's about. They've got a museum. It's all about creation and dinosaurs and cavemen and stuff. It's not what it's about. Answers in Genesis is about the gospel. That is their heartbeat at Answers in Genesis. The attraction is impressive. This is a review from the Christian Post. The attraction is surprisingly impressive, both in its quality and in the intensity of the experience. In fact, it may be about as realistic as fictional travel through time and space can possibly be. So there you have it. If you're going to Branson, check out Truth Traveler at the Moon River Theater in Branson, Mo. And if you bump into Ken, say, thanks, buddy. Thanks. Thanks a lot. But that's just one of the bones that I have to pick. My second one is with one N.T. Wright. Seems like a nice enough bloke, but his teaching has entered into that realm of, I'm so clever. Look what I've done to Christianity. All of you people who thought it was this, I'm going to show you it's that. Hence, new perspectives on Paul. Hold on. I don't need a new one. I don't need new clever person. Where did these new, like everybody was a moron before this? You read the Puritans, their grasp of scripture is just absolutely scary. And they were plenty smart. Why didn't they have these perspectives? Why? And again, the tactics that get used to go back to the Bible and to try to make it say that, do you recall, Jimmy, last week mentioned N.T. Wright?
Mm-hmm.
When he was asked the question about, do you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible?
Yes.
This is the chin boogie, the clever nudics that I'm talking about. So the answer, do you believe in the inerrancy of the Bible, would be an absolute, yeah, our eternity depends on it. This is from N.T. Wright. Inerrancy was a word invented particularly by American rationalists as a way of saying we are Protestants, not Catholics. So we don't believe in an inerrant pope. We believe in an inerrant Bible instead. The way I see it is, I think we have the Bible God intended us to have. It's full of questions and puzzles and open doors, inviting us to go through, but not necessarily telling us what we're going to find when we go through them. Razzle dazzle. Now, he kind of answered the question, but it's all couched. It's all safe, because you don't want to have traditional lines drawn. And one of the ways that I see that N.T. Wright and others who are very, very clever do this is with the Bible. You see, this isn't really that. I call it clevernutics. Jimmy, would you like an example of clevernutics?
I would.
I've got one. Here it is. When you and the family want to go out to get some sort of ice cream treat, where do you go? You ever do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Where do you go?
Are you specifically, we go to Brewster's, I think.
Oh, Brewster's.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Slightly better than Dairy Queen. But I was looking for Dairy Queen. Could you help me out?
Sorry.
Could you throw me a bone here? Dairy Queen?
Dairy Queen.
See, you are just a part of the whole scheme. Because what you don't know is that Dairy Queen is not a little chain that sells ice cream cones. Uh-huh. It's not. It's a covert Catholic agricultural spy organization of the modern age.
Wow.
Infiltrating communities under the guise of soft serve. You see, that's why they have a drive-through to maximize surveillance coverage and why the menu features blizzards, an obvious reference to winter campaigns to suppress Islamic expansion in the Iberian Peninsula during the 16th century. That's what Dairy Queen is all about. And I've got all of the proof to support that ridiculous statement. So, for instance, vanilla, well, we all know that's actually a reference to the purity of the Roman Catholic faith and the Vatican. So that's why they serve vanilla. Well, whatever it is there. Chocolate, that would be a little hat tip to the dark robes of the Dominican friars. Strawberry, a symbol of the blood spill defending Catholic interests during the reclaiming of Spain. See? That is what Dairy Queen is about. It's actually a covert Catholic organization.
Wow.
Yeah, you didn't know that, did you?
I had no idea.
Well, that's why you come to see me, and that's why you buy my book, because I teach you clever things like that. Would you like me to go on?
I don't know.
All right, I have a confession to make.
Okay.
I came up with this dopey idea, and I fed it to the AI machine. I said, hey, write something satirical about Dairy Queen not being Dairy Queen, because we all know it's not dairy, so that word has to mean something else. There are no royalty at those shops. So clearly that word has a different meaning. And I think it has something to do with Catholic suppression of the Islamic hordes. Go. And wow, did it go. It did flavors, like you just heard, blizzard sizes. it's small, medium, large, and royal aren't arbitrary. They reflect the expanding influence of Catholicism over time. Royal is the ultimate nod to monarchy, reminding you that Queen Mary is never far from the plan. The swirl pattern of every blizzard is mathematically encoded using the Fibonacci sequence to mirror Vatican architectural designs. Okay, this is almost conspiratorial, but it makes the point. Now, while this may be patently and blatantly ridiculous, this is what guys are doing with the Bible. This is what they're doing. And I see it, and it's gaining traction. It's painting Christianity as something that we've never really seen before. And we need to be on the alert for this. N.T. Wright, just one of them. Watch for the marks. Watch for the signs. And this goes for every sermon that we listen to. It does. If a pastor ever says, hey, I discovered this about the word, that's not a panic statement. But when the pastor says, hey, y'all, I know we used to think Easter was about, like N.T. Wright did with 2 Corinthians 5. It's not really about justification. Really? Really? If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. What? That's not about justification? Oh, teach me, wise sage. Look out for those types of redefining of what we've understood historically as Orthodox Christianity. And before we go, not that this has anything to do with Wham, might I kindly encourage you to possibly consider supporting Fortas Institute as the year draws nigh? I don't know what that means. So it's coming closer, right?
Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Could you come up with the word? Put it in the AI machine. Nighification. Yeah. To participate in NIAFication, would you please visit FortisInstitute.org/donate? We have a matching gift campaign. And you can learn on the website all of the things that we're doing here. We want to be a ministry that never turns into, well, N.T. Wright. FortisInstitute.org/donate. And we thank you. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.